This is a podcast by The Straits Times.
A new era of Singapore netball is here. Singapore ended a 16-year wait to claim its third Netball Nations Cup title at the end of October. And they did this with a young side filled with potential as veterans, namely Charmaine Soh, bow out. Hi, I'm ST Sports reporter Deepan Raj Ganesan, and this is Sports Talk. In this episode, Singapore netball head coach Annette Bishop and national goal shooter Amandeep Kaur Shahal join me to talk about the Nations Cup campaign and the path forward for the young team. Yep, welcome to the show, Annette and Amandeep. Let's start with the successful Nations Cup campaign. Annette, I'll come to you first. Did you expect the team to win it, you know, this time around, given the fact that it was a young side and it's more of a developmental phase at the moment?
Our goal was to win gold. The first step, though, was to actually make the final. So with coming off World Netball Cup we'd been through, I did expect us to be hopefully sitting in that final, and all kudos to how the team did it, especially when we had our first loss against PNG. We actually had to do it the hard way to come into the final. So in the way the girls played with their courage and pride, and even in the final, was, like I say, just really commended to them.
So you talk about that loss, right? You know, as a coach, you know, what do you have to do after a loss in terms of, because it will dampen the spirits in some ways, you know, what did you have to do to bring it back up?
We knew that we had our opportunities. We had been down, and then in the last quarter, we pulled it back, and that was with the crowd and once again, the girls just all of a sudden minimising their errors. We do go back and discuss what went wrong, but what worked. I mean, we've got to really focus on the positives going forward. A loss always hurts us, but it just makes us stronger. And then it was just being, okay, we need to look forward now. We're not out of the race. And that's what the team did.
Okay, fantastic. Amandeep, you're one of the up-and-coming players in this side. What did the win feel like for you?
It felt kind of surreal, knowing that we managed to clinch the goal after about 16 years. Yeah, so it was definitely a lot of pressure going into the competition. But I'm glad that we were kind of all on the same page from the beginning. Like what Annette said, we always wanted to go for the finals and then win the gold. So I think having worked towards having the same mindset just from the get-go and actually achieving it is a very, very proud moment for not just me, but I think the whole team.
Fantastic. And when you talk about how this is a team that's really young, in other sports, you know, coaches might relieve the pressure in terms of, oh, it's a young team, let's build up slowly. But you said that, you know, your expectations was that, you know, you wanted to win the gold here. Why is that? Why is that instead of giving a team perhaps I wouldn't say an excuse, but an opportunity to realise that, okay, maybe this is developmental. Why is it that you set the bar high?
We are on the international stage. We want to be competitive. We've had 4 years together. There's been players that have come in and out of the squad. We are still young in the caps that we do have, but it is about Singapore being out there and saying, yes, we are very good at netball and this is how we play the game. And we can only keep putting excuses that we're a young side, and even the youngest member in there is a real part of this, we call it a family, and working and striving to be the best.
Okay. And Amandeep, in your debut campaign in the Nations Cup, Singapore finished third. What has been the difference between then and now? You know, what are the differences that you see in the squad?
I would say that there isn't any huge difference, but I guess playing together for a longer period of time, and it may just be a year, but I think within a year, we have all stepped up a lot, knowing that we have just come out of the World Cup campaign as well. So I think the build-up from last year's Nations Cup up to this year's World Cup, the gap that we have filled is huge. And I think coming up from the World Cup up to this year's Nations Cup, we were just trying to, I guess, continue what we have been working on and improve on it. So yeah, I guess that's a huge difference.
So when you mention the word improve, in your own personal opinion about your own performances, where do you think you've improved in the past year? You know, what kind of experience have you gained that has helped you perform better?
We have had, so specifically for myself, because I play shooter, so the shooters in our unit, we have worked specifically on shooting specific practices. So we have had additional practices outside of regular training. So we go down on Mondays and Wednesdays before gym just to have half an hour of shooting sessions where Annette will just come up with different shooting programs. So we have one where, for example, the defenders will be jumping on the shot or just distracting you, hitting you, because that's exactly what happens on an international stage. You know, your defenders won't be nice to you, but yeah. So that's just an example of it. But there are different variations of it. And I think that really helped us build the strong mindset and mentality into how we are supposed to compose ourselves before we put up the shot.
You talk about scenario-based training here. But beyond the technical side of the game, you know, how does experience help a player? So you've been around in the team for some time now, you know, gaining experience from previous competitions. How has that experience helped you?
I would say just having the exposure to different types of defenders out on court and having your teammates back you up in different situations, knowing that they will be there and what you can bring to the team as well. It just gives you and helps you build your confidence on court. Yeah.
Okay. Annette, what was the reason behind forming a young side? You know, what were the factors at play? Because I think in the starting lineups, you had like four players who were aged 24 and under. What was the focal reason behind this like rejuvenation?
When I arrived, there was quite a few retirements, and then it was just picking, selecting. They all had to earn their spot into the squad, and that's been happening over the past 4 years. So it is, first of all, it comes out to what players are available. Are they consistently playing in NSL? Because that's where we do see them in National League. And the other great thing is that all the players that are in the team are all Singapore-based. I mean, there's a lot of teams we come up against, even in worlds, where they've actually got imports. And even when we look at the Caribbean sides, there's a couple of ex-England Rose players in there. So when we look at the Singapore side, we can actually say that that is 100% all-based Singaporean. So with a lot of retirements meant that it gave opportunities for players like Amundi to... Amundi came through our N21 program and really grinded it out through COVID and then missing out. They didn't get the chance to go to World Youth. So then she did make the big step up. And of course, for them, it's a huge one because they didn't get the opportunity to play in World Youth Cup experience. It was straight from age group in Singapore, straight onto the international stage. And so that's where the development side, or our Singapore A side, bringing them through now will hopefully minimise the big gap players like Amundi had to take straight away.
So when you talk about the gap, right, in terms of not being able to gain experience because of COVID and all these things, as a coach, how do you minimise that gap? You know, what do you instill or what do you do to ensure that when these players come in for major competitions, they are not lacking too much?
It's, we call it, it is the tough love, like money's laughing, or thinking outside the square. Like, a lot of it is, of course, there is the other side of our strength and conditioning. And for that, like, Chin is just absolutely amazing with the full squad. And we've worked on reaching international standards in the fitness level as well, because that's a big part of our game, because we're so much tinier than a lot of the teams as well. The girls need to be physically strength-wise as well to be able to contain the knocks. And then on the more side, the court side, is we will have the scenarios, or going back and making sure we've got good basics. I mean, we do a lot of basic skills, because when we get the pressure onto us, that's what players will revert back to. And like Amundi said with the shooting, for the shooters, unfortunately, when they do have a bad day at the office, as we call it, they might miss one goal. They remember that one goal, and it could be a crucial time. So they actually had to do extra work with their shooting practice.
I know a lot of the rejuvenation in this side was based around, you know, lots of retirements. Would a changing of the guard be a fair way to describe this? And, you know, having a younger team, you know, does it benefit Singapore netball in some ways?
I think it's exciting. Like, old national players, they've been there as sparring partners as well, which has been great, because they've gotten their old heads that they use out there, and they can actually slow the game up, speed it up. So it was a good lead-in for us for world netball. And it just has, I think it's inspired young players to continue, like with Amundi. And now we've got young players coming through, which I think is the next generation to inspire the younger players to come through.
You're part of the next generation, Amandeep, and I just want to find out, you know, how much of an inspiration were the players that came before? What did you learn from them? So, for example, you know, Charmaine, she's recently retired after this Nations Cup campaign. What are things that you've picked up from them, and how big of an inspiration are they?
I would say Charmaine is a huge inspiration. Looking up to her, I think growing up, you know, seeing her put up the shot flawlessly is just amazing. And having to live up to that has been difficult, but I think having opportunity to train with her, I think that's something different and special, because the confidence that she brings, or the tips and tricks that she has, that she shares with all of us in the shooting unit, is definitely valuable, because she has a lot more experience than all of us. And I think we also had the opportunity to have her as our specialist coach last Nations Cup. So I think with that, she did bring a lot of variety in what we could do in the shooting circle, because just watching from the outside, I think she gave a different point of view in what she saw. And I think with that, we did manage to improve and build on it. And with her coming back this Nations Cup, I think it also gave us a lot more stability in the shooting end, because I think just knowing that she was there with us gave us a lot more confidence. Yeah.
Find us on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or via the Google Voice Assistant and Amazon Alexa-enabled devices. And now back to our podcast episode.
And now back to our conversation with Annette and Amundi. You talk about Charmaine being an inspiration, so I think it's a good segue to go into how you started off playing the sport. What got you hooked to the sport?
To be honest, I picked it up in primary school, but I initially wanted to play volleyball. But my mom made me sign up for netball instead. And I think the trials just went great, I guess.
You've got to thank your mom, basically.
Yeah, and I've been in it ever since.
Tell us, what is it about the sport that, you know, drives you? You know, what is it about netball that you enjoy so much?
I guess it's the teammates. It's basically really just the people around you and how much they motivate you to just drive you to do what you do best and do it better. So yeah, a few of them, like Angie, she calls me like helicopter. So, you know, it just makes me want to just put in every shot even more. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amandeep is a focal part of your team going forward. But, you know, we talk about the wins, the successes of the Nations Cup, but I'm sure there are challenges when you want to go into a certain direction. You know, could you share with us what are these challenges that you would face as a coach?
It is, again, the hardest thing for me as a coach, which is when it comes to final selection, when we've actually got to select the 12 players that are going into a competition, because all the players have become so close and worked really strong. So to be able to then have to really, I guess, you pull the rug under someone's, they want to inspire to be going to World Cup or into Nations Cup. So that one there is a real hard choice to be made, not just by me, but as the selectors as well. And that's where we have trials. We have trials for a reason, and the players have to be able to step up to that pressure. So as a coach, it is that. And the other one is being able to always be innovative on how we can improve the trainings, make sure we're doing right by the players themselves. They're not professional, which is they come from work, school. I mean, both Charmaine and Akila had young sons as well. So it's actually working with them and ensuring that we can get the best out of them and we have the quality, not quantity.
When you talk about selection, I mean, this is across any sport, right? You can deliver the good news to a player saying they're selected, but you also got to deliver the bad news. What's your process in that, you know, and is that the most difficult part of the job to tell a player that, you know, you did not make the final cut?
It definitely is. That is the most terrible part of the job, I must admit, is telling someone that they haven't made the squad or they haven't made the team. My big thing is that when I do it, they have the choice of whether they will take a phone call from me rather than having a text, and I'll tell them when we're going to announce it. I believe, just for myself as a coach, it is better to be able to speak to the player, and then if they want feedback, is to be able to give that feedback directly, because I just feel that I've been a player before when you've been told, sorry, you've missed out and you don't know where you can improve and what I need to do and go away and to improve so I can be selected maybe the next time around.
So what's the process of selection like in terms of like watching matches? So I assume that you watch their club matches and all. So what is the steps behind, you know, selecting a team?
So we will watch them in NSL, see what they are consistently. It's not just one game and that's what they're out. So that with the shooters, it is what they're doing and their shooting percentage, what their movements are like. I mean, but the other one is that all the coaches in NSL, they have different ways that they like their players to play. So we might want a moving shooter, but they might want their shooter to be holding. So that does not work against them, because we've actually got to look at these are the skills that this player possesses. Can we take them further? And some players will be playing out of position. Some actually, one of the players we had was a defender and we've moved her into the midcourt. So it's just looking, what can this player offer for us on the international stage while ensuring that they are doing their best by their club?
Okay. Amandeep, lots of work has gone into this campaign and preparing for it. Could you give listeners an insight into what a typical week looks like for you in terms of managing the trainings that you go through?
So currently I'm working. I just graduated this year. So I got into working at Singapore Sports Institute. So in the day, I would be working until about 6:30. And then on Monday and Wednesdays, we have our gym sessions, our strength and conditioning sessions, which would be around from 7 to 8:30. And then on Tuesdays, Thursdays and Saturdays, we have our court trainings. So on Tuesdays and Thursdays, it will be from 7 to 10. And I think Annette makes it a good habit to, I guess, end it early so that we head back home and have a rest, basically, because all of us are coming from work and have like Akila and Shah, they both have kids. So they also want to go home and spend time with their family. And then on Saturdays is, I guess, in the morning is, I guess, when everyone is their freshest, because they come in the morning. And then we have sometimes we do have a bit of a conditioning session in the morning before we have our court session, yeah.
And then the club matches, when do they take place?
So they normally happen at the start of the year when we go back to our own clubs to represent them, and they happen for about 3 to 3.5 months, and it's on the weekends.
Okay, so plenty of time is spent training for these competitions and just training in particular, and it involves lots of sacrifices. And you mentioned the two players there who have a family to go home to. What drives you, basically? You know, the fact that you turn up after work to go for trainings, to try to get better at the sport, what drives you?
I think personally, it's just the hunger to want to improve, but also to perform, not just for myself, but for my friends, because I know that everyone has made, in their own way, their own sacrifices to be here, and just to not let them down and let myself down. So I guess that's what pushes me to want to perform and go for trainings. Yeah.
Fantastic. And as a coach, you have all these different kinds of players, right? Players who are working, who might be studying, and then, like you mentioned, mothers. How do you draw that distinction between, you know, training the team hard, but also caring for them as human beings?
We work closely with our captains, Kai Wei and Ting Feng, and Akilua's vice, just to see how the players are tracking. And of course, Chin and myself will have a discussion on, okay, they've done a hard session. Do we need to back off? And then there'll be, on a sad day, if we need a, what we call a family time, where we'd come away from the court, like so just before Nations Cup, we decided we would go to the beach and just have, and it was just all fun games and that, to come together to try and just break it. And then if we have to, we will pull a training. We will take a training out of there just to ensure that the players can sort of just even have one night off with it, to try and hopefully recharge the batteries. And other times it is, no, we need to go through this, because when we get into a week-long tournament, there will be pretty much the third day where we sort of, it does become very hard. And we talk about that number 3 day where we have to really push through that game, and that's a mental challenge as well. So it is that balancing act. We've come sometimes with Charmaine and Akilua, we've actually had the little boys down at training as well, because it's about looking at them holistically. And if there's the players have got exams or they need a bit of time out, then we just have that discussion and it will be granted. Because like I say, we want them to stay in the sport and be able to work, study and be a mother.
It's a fine balancing act for sure. What's next for the team? You know, we've talked about the Nations Cup success. It's a young team. What is the ultimate goal for you in it?
The only goal is we want to keep moving up in the rankings, which is hard to do in the world rankings, because it's just the way we have to select the teams that, of course, will play us. The next one for us is Asian Indoor Games, and that's a first for netball, and it will be held in Thailand at the beginning of next year. So the girls are on a 2-week break at the moment completely, so we want them to refresh. They'll come back in November and December and start back training. And then we will train right up to Asian Indoor Games, and then they will just have a wee break and then into NSL for them. So it is a real quick turnaround for them.
So would the most realistic goal then to say that we should try to be the best in Asia? And also when you talk about Asia and you compare that to the world level, you know, what are certain things that you think Singapore netball can do to try and edge closer to, you know, being just not just the best in Asia, but also trying to be competitive on a global level?
The real key for us is, yes, we want to be the best in Asia and we want to stay there. It's not win a few times and then have, of course, Sri Lanka and Malaysia come over the top of us. It is keeping that development coming through. So whenever we do have a retirement, we've got that next young player that's really eager to step up and be ready to take the international stage. And then for us, it is when we're going out and playing in the competition such as Pacific Oz, which we've been in Australia, is making sure we get wins on the board there, because that all helps towards our ranking. And then it is now gearing up for the next 4 years with World Cup coming up. It will be 4 years, and there's a big review on that. So we need to ensure that we are one of the top teams in Asia.
Okay, Amandeep, for you, what are your personal goals in the years ahead?
I do want to stay in the sport for as long as I can. So I think for me personally, it's just keep working hard, keep working at it, and just hope for the best, yeah.
All right, Annette and Amandeep, thank you so much for coming in. Congratulations again on the Nations Cup win, and wishing you the best for what's ahead.
Thank you.
That was a podcast by The Straits Times. Send your feedback to podcast@sph.com.sg. Find us on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or via the Google Voice Assistant and Amazon Alexa-enabled devices. For more podcasts by The Straits Times, The Business Times and Money FM 89.3, you can also download the Audio by SPH app. That's AWEDIO.